All right. Extend the greetings to you all this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessing to crown him Lord of all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we've come before you this morning. We just want to thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you for your grace that you've extended to us, Father, that you would call us, Father, back to yourself, Lord. I pray that you'd help us hear your voice this morning, Lord. We just thank you again for your goodness. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom to do your will. Again, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to greet you all this morning again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a real blessing to be back with you again. Had a good visit with the brethren in Mexico, and it's just been a real blessing to visit with them. Pray for them. Their brothers are in Guatemala right now. They say they're having a really good visit with the brothers there. They're finding some fellowship. Brian also was meeting. They're meeting with about three people pretty regular there in Peru. And so they're just a real blessing there also. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. I want to start here in verse 37, I think. Then I may go backwards and maybe even a little forward. I'm not sure just where I'll wind up this morning. So I guess one of the things I want to start before I begin is a little something to think about as we look at this. So many today talk about God and talk about Jesus. We have every element, every aspect of it. I mean, there's churches that just promote every kind of sin and say God loves you and it's all in Jesus' name, all the way to the strictest that say they hold the name of Jesus. We believe that faith in Jesus is actually hearing what he says. We sang that song this morning about hearing God's hearing God's voice, him who speaks from above, hearing from him. And we believe, the Bible teaches, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. The point is God is alive today. We believe that He's alive today. Almost every church you go to talk about Jesus being risen from the dead. But it's a Jesus that rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and there He is. He rose from the dead. But He's still speaking to us today. Not just trying to tell us what He can do for us. He's still trying to draw us to Himself. And we read in the New Testament, like we spoke about last week in Mexico, Jesus said, "He that hears my words." We think, okay, it's this exact printed word. You know, we're taught that because men can look at that. They can see that. There's something they can touch and feel. Whenever it's written down, we can say, this is it. And we want something solid like that. Faith is not anything that you can put your hands on like this. Faith is difficult. Faith is not only building a frame out of the things that are taught, it's walking and living by faith. God has called us to be pilgrims. We are in this Christian life walking every day, walking, moving forward. He has not called us to be masons, to build a brick wall on what we believe. This is real. This is life. God is bigger than just something you can touch and feel and see. He's bigger than that. And He can't be put in those things. We believe that what Jesus taught and the way He taught us to live is the best way. I don't believe the Bible's true because I grew up hearing that the Bible is the Word of God, inerrant and all of those things that I've heard all of my life. That if you, every word, every little point in this book is just absolutely true. Only if you have this version, this one particular version. That's not why I believe it. The reason I believe it is because when I read the teachings of Jesus, they are true. He lifts us up above humanity. He lifts us up above ourselves and brings us to a higher plane. That's why we follow this. It's not because we grew up in a land that's just all Christian or they say they are. But it's because of what Jesus said was true. When He said, turn the other cheek, that lifts us above. It doesn't just protect that person from getting hit back. That lifts us above the fray. And that's the blessing of this. The things that He taught are pure. They're right. They're good. But just to build our frame on those few teachings and say, this is it, we've got it, there's a lot of people that live within those teachings and miss the whole thing completely. Verse 37 here. Now let's go back to... let's read 37, then I'll go back. Here's Jesus. These are Jesus' words as well, okay? A lot of times we want to limit Him to this one little box of some of His teachings. But this is Jesus as well. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you under my wing, but you would not. Who was He talking to? Was He talking to the old drunks down the street there? No. Was He talking to the prostitutes? No. Was He talking to the drug addicts? No. Who was He talking to? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. My people. These were the religious people that He was talking to. We see that as He preached, who came up and accepted Him? It was the people who had a need. It was the broken. It was the poor. It was the sick. It was the lame that He came to, that received Him. And He said, of the religious people, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would that I could just gather you under my wing like a chicken gathers her chicks together, but you would not. Jesus said he came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Jesus would like to gather Jerusalem. He would love to gather his people, but they would not. The ones that heard him needed help. They were looking for help. They were looking for deliverance. And they found it. The ones that he wanted to gather needed help too. They need help too. But something is keeping them from getting help. I would that I could gather you under my wing just like these that heard. But you wouldn't. This is what happened 2,000 years ago with the Jewish people. You know, a big part of the teachings of Jesus, you know, we've got the first three chapters of Matthew, or the first three chapters in the book, you know, verse 5 through 7, the teachings of Jesus telling us how to live. And the majority of the rest of the teachings of Jesus were trying to get religious people to listen to him. Dealing with religious people, warning us about religion. He tells us how to live, and then the majority of the rest of the time was warning about things that were happening. You know, the rest, a lot of the New Testament. There's some guidance, there's some instruction, there's some teaching on how to live, but there's also a lot of things that the New Testament is dealing with. And what is it? How to avoid Judaizers. How to avoid people trying to mix in religion with following Jesus. A big part of this book is trying to instruct us how to avoid those things. And yet, we gather a few things that we think we like, smear a little dauber around them, build us a nice little wall, and said, this is Christianity. But that is not Christianity. Christianity is a walk of faith. Faith. Jesus said, believe in me. Have faith. I don't know how many times he talked about people having faith. It doesn't take faith to stand on a concrete floor. It isn't going anywhere. And it's easy to stand on. Something that I understand completely. Something that I have all nailed down. It's easy to just rest in that. And anybody comes along and starts making that thing, making that a little uneasy, the first thing we do is slap a little more mortar down or slap a little more concrete down and try to make it solid, more solid. Faith is getting out of the boat in the storm and walking on the water. That's not comfortable. Faith is getting out of your little comfort zone of religion and walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not the substance we can, it's not the concrete bunker we can build ourselves for ourselves. It's real. Jesus was talking to Jerusalem. I want to gather you in. And they said, we don't need you to gather us in. Jesus is saying, you need help. Let me help you. And they were saying, we've got it taken care of ourselves. We've got it all under control. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. I set you out a vineyard. I gave everything you need. And you start straying away. And I send prophets to you. I send someone to say, hey, you're straying, you're turning away. And what do? You kill them. I would gather you under my wings, but you would not. I send someone to point you my way, and you kill them. You don't need anything. How many people will perish because they don't need anything? I'm not talking about people outside of the wall. I was bound by sin. I was bound by this world. Some people are bound by religion. Some people are bound by their own minds. Jesus came to set us free from those things. There's people that can't get over what someone else is doing. They can't get past some other person. That's just as much bondage as smoking cigarettes. They can't tolerate someone not living up to them. The verse in Romans chapter 15. One of the boys gave it out this morning. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. In verse 14 it says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What's it say in that version? 14. One.
Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions.
Okay. What's he trying to teach here? Him that is weak in the faith, receive, but don't pass judgments on his opinions. Is that what it says? Him that is weak in the faith, receive, but don't pass judgment on his opinions. Do you know there's so many people that are in bondage that's just as bad as doing meth? It's just as much bondage. In fact, I think it's almost worse. I think it's worse. Because it has an appearance of good to it that makes it seem legitimate. I'll give you an example. Gambling. It's a terrible vice. People that gamble, they go off to Las Vegas and they gamble. Okay? Most people would think, that's wrong. It used to be just the vilest and the lowest of the people in the world would gamble. Now, it's all accepted. Gambling used to have such a stigma to it that they had to invent another way for people to get more people involved in it. They call it Wall Street. They knew that if they would put a work ethic with gambling, that it would get in a whole bunch more people to do it. That's the heart of what's behind what we call Wall Street, the big economic system. But because it has a work ethic to it, people can put a tie on and go gamble all day long, taking advantage of someone else losing so they can gain, and it's going to work instead of going to the casino. Does it make it better? Or does it make it worse because it draws in a whole bunch more people? See, whenever religion draws us in and changes the name, but it draws us in, it's got a religious tone to it, so it looks a lot nicer. It looks a lot better than those old wicked sinners out there doing drugs on the street. It looks a lot better. But it's the same filthy bondage. Our battle is not against all of those bad things. Our battle is with Satan. And he is trying to bring us under bondage any way he can. And it doesn't matter how good it looks or bad it looks. And in fact, I think the better it looks, the happier it makes him, because it makes his kingdom look better. You know, someone destroying their life, their teeth falling out and their hair falling out on meth, that doesn't bring Satan much glory, does it? It's the nice looking things that draw people into that in the first place. If the devil can dress up religion and make it look just, the Bible says, Satan himself has appeared as an angel of light. An angel of light? Well, I would recognize the devil. We think. But he appears as an angel of light. A minister of righteousness. I'm not saying throw it all out and don't be like a Pharisee. I'm saying follow Jesus. Put his principles, the things he taught, into life, but put all of them there. Don't think that you've accomplished anything because you're able to live within a little realm of what he says. Don't think that you've won the religious lottery because you're able to live within a few of these guidelines as he set out. Most people think that because they were brought up in a Christian home and they just learned how to live these guidelines, that somehow now they can look down on everybody else that doesn't live up to what they have been taught. It's only, who caused you to be born where you were born? It wasn't you. It was a blessing to be at Floyd and Jessica's wedding. A real blessing to see two young people, pure and innocent, come together to be man and wife. They have hit the absolute jackpot of a lottery in life. One out of a million people are married that way. Yeah, they made some right choices along the way, but they were taught and they were protected and they were given that gift. And if one of them, either one of them, would look down on someone who didn't get the gift that they have received, that they would think that they were something special above anybody else because of how their marriage was. And if they would turn and look down their nose at somebody who didn't do it the way they did, they're as wicked as they can be, unthankful and unholy. They didn't merit one thing of what they were given. And for them to turn that around and look down their nose at somebody else that didn't measure up to what they were given. This is a gift. What you have, you young people, is a gift that you don't deserve. Look at the way the world is brought up. Living like a bunch of alley cats. And that's normal. That's accepted. That's all they know. They don't hardly even have a twinge of conscience to show that they're wrong. In fact, some of them think they're born that way, just to live the way they live, because that's what they were brought up with. That doesn't mean that they were brought up that way and I was brought up this way, so that's just the way it is. That's not what it means. This is right. This is good. This is what we should strive for, to keep and maintain. But if you think you're something special because you're that way and they're that way, you're wrong. You're wrong. I appreciate the things that I was taught being brought up, but I wasn't taught nothing like what they've got. And I appreciate it, and I love it, and I want it for everyone. But if I go to thinking that I'm something because of that, I'm worse. It'd be like someone winning $1 million and then going and laughing at the poor people on the street that are hungry and saying, I'm going to buy them a big fancy car and drive by and laugh at them while they're eating right in front of them. What do you think? What would you think of that? Seeing someone going to India and starving, people starving to death, and you just preparing a big old feast in a big glass house and let them all watch you eat. And then you looking at them, them poor people. And you had it given to you. What's the difference in your righteousness and theirs? What's the difference with what you've been given and what they've been given? Every man will be judged according to what he's been given. Every man will be judged by what you've been given. If just a cup of water, the song goes, I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. God is just and God is good. And if He puts someone in the middle of a dark hole to live in, a dark hell hole in the middle of some city to live in, and He just gives them that much light and they live by it, and he gives someone else, puts them in a church, and they get all the light in the world, and they look down at that person. That person that's in that dark gutter are going to rise up and judge you. Sometimes the more I think, the more I see things, I think there's more chance of somebody rising up out of the gutter being saved than someone in the Amish church. It's easier to be saved out of something like that than someone just trained that way. Because those people need something. These others don't. Jesus said, I would Jerusalem, I would church, I would Christianity, I would Mennonite church, I would whatever denomination you want to put yourself in, I would that you would, that I could gather you under my wing like a hen gathers her chicks. But you were content without it. And there's so much pride comes with that. That's rejecting Christ. All in the same time saying, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. Not with your self-righteous judgments. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. And not to please ourselves. This is in 15. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It's brought out. It's easy to see the weaknesses and the infirmities in other people. But we have them. We all have them. But it's so much easier to see them in someone else. So much easier to see them in someone else. And I think that seeing them in someone else is magnified when it's in our own heart. You know, we can see people's faults whenever they affect us. We can see that. That's no problem. But when that poison and that garbage is in our own hearts and we see it in someone else, it's like magnified. That person needs help. That person needs help. Jesus would say, come, I'll help you. But they say, no, I've got what I need. You would not. And someone tries to point that out to you. We got to kill them. We got to get rid of them. We got to quit listening to them. We live in a society that just, where things have changed. 400 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, when the prophet came, they killed him. One time, I had gotten excommunicated from the Mennonite church, because I wouldn't go along with the rule about when I could preach or not. And I tried. I wasn't rebellious about it. I just said, I can't go along. I need to do something else. You need to let me go somewhere. They wouldn't let me go. They excommunicated me. Many of them disagreed with it, but they went along with it. One of the men that was there, I saw him a few days later. Met him in front of the post office. And he asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm doing pretty good. Considering the fact that 400 years earlier, if what would have happened to me happened, you'd be talking to a pile of ashes because I would have been burned. But it's not socially acceptable to do that today. And so we can treat God's people completely different today. We just excommunicate them and call it love. We just pronounce them dead and saying it's out of love. Following the same pattern, doing the same things, feeling the same things in our heart, but we've changed the name. Now we call it love. What's the difference in that, in the queers calling what they do gay? Because they like that name. And it sounds better. We'll just change the words where they're a little more politically correct. It's the same old thing. How often? We need just as much help as everybody else in the world. We need to be able to be gathered just like everyone else needs that way. Not to exclude, but to gather. Our battle is with being on Jesus' side or being on Satan's side. We're of one spirit or we're of the other. And you can appear just as holy. The Pharisees appeared like whited sepulchers. We've got our minds, we hear Pharisee and we think, oh, bad person, black. I don't want to avoid. Like they got horns. But that's not what Jesus saw when he told them, woe unto you when men speak well of you. Why were they speaking well of those devils? Because they looked like godly men. They looked like whited sepulchers. But he said inside they were full of dead men's bones. I think that's why so many people get so religious and build so many walls around themselves. Because they know what's in them, and if they're not concreted in, it'll come out. And so they seal it in. Just like a grave. Put a little monument up. Say, this is me. And they live like a little robot and a little statue, a little plastic smiley face. Never raise their voice. They're just like a stone. A whited sepulcher. But inside their heart, it's full of ravening wickedness. That's why they can't stand it in somebody else. When they see a little glimmer of themselves in it. They can't put up with it. They just can't control it. It controls them. You need help. You need help. Smearing concrete on it isn't going to fix the problem. Come to the Savior. Faith is leaving the concrete, leaving the tomb, and walking in life. It's leaving the tomb, leaving the whited sepulcher, and living the real life that Christ has promised. I would that you would, that I could gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her chick. But you would not. He wasn't talking to the dirty sinners. He was talking to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Today, if Jesus Christ was here, He would say, oh, Christianity, Christianity. Oh, Anabaptist, Anabaptist. The people that are naming His name, it amazes me. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world is the same. The same world that crucified Jesus probably couldn't do that today. But it's still the same. Still would if it could. We have nothing to offer the Lord except praise and thanksgiving for His goodness and His mercy. We think of ourselves so much higher. And where did we get what we have? The Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? Somebody even, because of God's goodness, taught you. Whenever we're thankful, and we're truly thankful, for where God's brought us from and what He's done for us, how can we look at anybody? How can we look at anybody with any difference? What we see in our hearts, what is in our hearts, that's how we see other people. Whenever you see yourself redeemed, you look at other people in the same way. When you're full of suspicion, that's the way you see everybody else. Whenever you're a liar, you see everybody else as being a liar. Whenever you're an honest person, you tend to believe everyone's honest. Because you're looking at other people through your own heart. I would gather you under my wings, but you would not. We need help. We're a needy people. And we're in war. And we've got an enemy that is the most crafty, deceitful thing you ever heard of. And he'll use anything he can to keep us from finding the help we need. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You again this morning and we just thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of Your goodness to us, Lord. Lord, I just ask You to help us be faithful to You, to bring glory to You. Again, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ, those who were needy, He was good to. And those who weren't, He said, Sodom and Gomorrah would rise up against this generation. They just passed this thing and they saw a picture. They had the lights of the White House painted in the colors of a rainbow celebrating. We think, wow, that's wicked. But Jesus said, that is going to rise up against who? Who? The Rainbow White House, Sodom and Gomorrah, probably being told about all over America today in every pulpit, condemning it. But Jesus said, that's going to rise up and condemn the people who condemned the light. They condemned Christ. That's wrong. We can see that that's wrong. But this book that we all say we believe says that they are going to rise up and condemn those who've rejected Christ. Now, I'm not talking about those who didn't just invite Him to be their personal Savior. I'm talking about the religious people who Jesus said, you need help. And they said, look at those sinners out there. I offered and you would not.